Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear friends. We are continuing together with the study of the Gospel of John. In Hebrew, the Hebrew name of John is Yohanan, and Yohanan the Apostle gave us this wonderful Gospel that presents before us Jesus the Messiah as the one that came from heaven. We learn from this Gospel that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is God the Son who became a man and came down to this world in order to redeem mankind. How wonderful to know that He was willing to come. Sometime we sing a song, "How wonderful that Thou, the Son, Habin, the Son, hath come." So today I would like to present before you, dear brothers and sisters, the first 20 verses of John chapter 8. In most of the manuscripts, chapter 8 verses 1 to 11 is really not found there. And for one reason or another, these events or that story mentioned in the first 11 verses of chapter 8 was placed in, but it seems to be that there was a reason for this portion to be placed in, and we are going to take this study already from verse 1 of John chapter 8, but always it's healthy to take under consideration that there must be a reason why in the early manuscripts of the Brit HaChadashah, of the New Covenant, this portion was not found. And so I'm reading in John chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, Har HaZeitim, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, "Master, Rabbi, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moshe in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Yeshua was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Yeshua had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Yeshua answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that has sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Yeshua answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Very interesting passage of scripture in John chapter 8, verses 1 to 20, dear brothers and sisters, and really this 8 chapter that is found here before us, and we begin with the first portion of it, really present before us contrasts and conflicts that existed between the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and the Pharisees who did not accept him and acknowledge him as the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world. And so in this 8th chapter, we see really contrast that is presented before us. And the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, this gracious person, is the one that reveal the sinfulness of all humanity. And the fact that all of us have sinned, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My dear friend, this is such an important truth to get hold of. And as we study this 8th chapter, we'll see the contrast between the law, which was holy, and all of us failed to fulfill it, and yet at the same time, the grace, the chesed that God had provided for mankind. This we can see in these a few 11 verses of chapter 8. We will also see the contrast between light and darkness in verses 12 to verse 20. We can see that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, presenting himself as the one that came, that brought light into this world. As he said in verse 8, I am the light of the world. A little later on in our chapter 8 of the Gospel of John, we'll see the contrast between life and death. Because life one receives as he trusts in the Lord, and death is the consequence and the result of sin and disobedience. My dear friend, he's also teaching us this chapter, the contrast between true freedom, in Hebrew we call it chofesh, true freedom, and in contrast to this, the bondage that sin places us under. And finally, in the last verses of this 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, we see the contrast between honor and dishonor. And so this interesting 8th chapter of the Gospel of John present before us these contrasts. Law versus grace. Darkness versus light. Death versus life. Bondage versus freedom. And dishonor versus honor. And it is interesting because these lessons help us to appreciate the fact that we needed grace and we need to come to the light. And because we would come to the light, we will receive life. And it will deliver us from bondage and give us freedom and ultimately honor that will be provided by the Lord when we are occupied with the Lord Jesus, our Messiah. And so, beloved, dear friends, we will continue right now to look over the first 11 verses to remind you the conclusion of chapter 7, John 7, verse 53, every man went unto his own house. And you remember, every man went unto his own house. That was at the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacle, where Yeshua called and cried at the last days of the great day of the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacle. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. And then he is shared in the temple in Yerushalayim with the multitude who came, our Jewish people who came to keep the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. He declared himself as the one that could provide and will provide quenching to the thirst. And so many of the people, therefore, when they heard of him, they said of a truth, this is that prophet. Others said, this is the Mashiach, and so on. But yet we find out that there was a division among the people concerning the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Some said, shall the Messiah come out of the Galil, not realizing that in actuality Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, was born to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem, exactly in accordance with the prophet Micha, who prophesies concerning the coming of the Messiah to be born in the city of Bethlehem. Thou Bethlehem Ephrata, as Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 declares to us, though thou be little among the people of Judah, yet out of thee shall come he unto me to be a ruler over my people, the people of Israel. As I paraphrase this in relationship to the promise of Micha, that the Messiah will come out of Bethlehem. But there was a division among the people because of him. And so, if you remember in chapter 7, as we concluded this chapter, even the officers that came back to the rulers and the Pharisees, and they were challenged by the Pharisees, he said to these officers, do you also believe on him? And they said, this man, never a man spake like this man. They were so fascinated by the words of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah that the officers did not capture him. They came to the rulers, to the Pharisees, you might say empty-handed. And the rulers said, are ye also deceived? And here we find out how the conclusion of the seventh chapter, when Nicodemus says unto them, he said that even the law does not judge a man before first they are hearing him. And they also said to him, search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. And then after this statement, everyone went to his own house. And you notice how chapter 8 really is a continuation from chapter 7. And Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and he stayed there the whole night. And early in the morning, according to chapter 8 and verse 2, he came once again into the temple in Jerusalem on the next day, just as the finality of the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacle. Here Yeshua the Messiah comes back to the very same temple where he proclaimed, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And now Yeshua, as a rabbi, as a teacher in Israel, he is coming there to to instruct the people concerning the scriptures, to remind you that our people of old, the people of Israel, had the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, the Tanakh, the law, the prophets, and the writings. And here the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, according to verse 2 of chapter 8, Yeshua rose early in the morning, and he came into the temple to teach. This is such a wonderful statement, because we can see how the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was instructed on the one hand by God as he went throughout the night, stayed on Har HaZeitim, the Mount of Olives. There he had fellowship, communion with God the Father, and very early in the morning, he comes now to teach the word, to teach the scripture, the multitude there in the temple in Jerusalem. We read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." And you notice what happened. Yeshua, very early in the morning, finding himself in prayer with his God, with God the Father, and then he's coming now to the temple and he's teaching the disciples. You know, that reminds me of the prophet Isaiah, who in chapter 50 was speaking concerning the Messiah. And we read prophetically in Isaiah 50 and verse 4, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened mine ears, and I was not rebellious, neither turn away back." Here in verses 4 and 5 of Isaiah chapter 50, which was written some 750 years before the Messiah came into this world, Isaiah prophetically is writing concerning the servant of Jehovah, how he would be morning by morning rising up to listen to the voice of the Lord. And in turn, he is now going to instruct others, that I will know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And so, beloved and dear friend, we find Yeshua the Messiah here in John chapter 8 and verse 2. Early in the morning, he heard the words of God the Father. He was as a man. Remember, the Gospel of John presenting before us the Lord Jesus, the man, as the eternal Son of God. But in his humanity, we can see him submitting to a God as a man and obeying him and doing God's bidding. You remember earlier in the earlier chapter of the Gospel of John, we have already learned that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, could say that the purpose that he came to this world is to do the will of his Father, of God. And that's the reason. My meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, came down to this world, to do the will of the Father. Eventually, ultimately, to go to the shameful cross where he will pay for the sin of this world. But here, prior to his death on the cross, on the tree, he was seeking to present himself before Israel as the Mashiach, as the Messiah, the Savior. And he is now in chapter 8, is once again in the temple in Jerusalem. And notice that early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. And again he sat down and he taught them. In fact, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 2 says, when he was in Galilee, he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying. Amazing. Yeshua, as a rabbi, as a teacher, is always instructing the people. And you notice that, beloved friend, the multitude came to him just the same as they came to him in the Galilee, on the mountains there where he gave the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Here we find him in Jerusalem, the multitude coming again, all the people coming to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Can you imagine how the spiritual leaders, how the Pharisees felt when Yeshua was now teaching and everyone coming to him? The reason that they came to him, because they could see that he did not teach as others. He teaches as one that has authority. And as the officer said, never men spake like this man. Never men spake like this man. Why? Because never men can speak like this man. Because Yeshua has authority, being God the Son, and he is the one who is the teacher here. Amazing to see this. If you read throughout the scripture how Yeshua the Messiah is teaching once and again his disciples and those that follow him wherever he is going. In Matthew chapter 7, we read also in verse 29 at the end, "For he had taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe." No wonder they came to him, because he had authority which none of the scribe has. Neither you nor I nor any Bible teacher today has the authority that our Lord Yeshua the Messiah has because of who he is. He is the eternal Son of God. And so now as we continue on in John chapter 8, you will notice that in verses 3 to 6, the Pharisees, the scribe and the Pharisees, were testing Yeshua as they approach him to try to find fault in him and in what he is teaching. And so in verse 3, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. We find out, dear friend, that the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him, this is unto Yeshua, a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Rabbi," master, teacher, "this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the Torah commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" And you see, it is interesting because they sought to find fault in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, especially with respect to the Torah, to the law, because they claimed that they submitted to the law, to the Torah, and they seek to find some fault in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And so we know very well from the Torah, from the law, in the scripture, it's very clear that God demanded from Israel not to commit adultery. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, "Thou shall not commit adultery." That is what clearly taught in the Hebrew scripture. And so the Pharisees and the spiritual leaders sought to find fault in him. So they came, they approached Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, presenting before him the law of Moses, and they asked him, "What sayest thou?" In verse 5, "If Moses commanded that a person will be stoned because one committed adultery, and this woman that they set before Yeshua, according to them, she was caught in the very act, well, what should one do if she committed this sin?" Then they wanted to hear from him what she is deserved to receive. But it is amazing the response of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah in verse 6. You notice that what Yeshua did. In verse 6, we read that this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But notice, beloved friend, dear brothers and sisters, what Yeshua does, he is then stooping down, and with his finger, he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. In other words, he stooped down and he wrote with his finger on the ground. You know, I always was fascinated with this expression that Yeshua was writing with his finger on the ground. That reminds us, of course, that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is one that had so much, you might say, patience with the Pharisees, with the spiritual leaders, and he's writing with his finger on that ground, and we can quickly learn how that writing of the finger represents before that which was done when God gave the Torah to our people of old, the people of Israel, because the Torah was written with the finger of God. It was God himself that gave to the people of Israel the Torah on the Mount Sinai. And so we remember that we look at the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy, how we discover there that it was the finger of God. It was God who gave the Torah to the people of Israel, and he himself wrote the Torah with the finger of God, as we read it in the Pentateuch. And so the Lord is, he is stooping down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground. And one must wonder, what did the Lord Jesus wrote on that ground? What did he inscribe there on the ground? It might be, it very well could have been that he wrote on the ground the names of every one of them that accused that woman, who perhaps may even had part in the sin that they accuse that woman in sinning. And so, as he's writing on the ground with his finger, he wrote perhaps some of the name. It could be even their own name. And this was really fascinating, because it shows us that he knew so much about each and every one of the people who sought to find fault in him and accuse this woman by challenging Yeshua the Messiah when they come to him. You know, these are sad when there is an accusation against people and publicly causing this woman to be presented before everyone else and before the Lord. And the reason behind it is not because they wanted to submit to the law of God, but it is because they wanted to find fault in him. As verse 6 says, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. So they wanted to accuse the blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah as if he was not submitting to the law of God. And so you notice that. It is very interesting, because when they continued asking him, verse 7, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Notice he is underlined. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then he stooped down again, and he wrote on the ground once again. There is a verse that is found in Jeremiah chapter 17 that Jeremiah the prophet have spoken concerning the enemies, those that are opposing God and those that are going against the Lord. Jeremiah said this in chapter 17 concerning the fact that their names are written in the earth. We read in verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living water. You see, prophetically, Jeremiah was speaking by the word of the Lord, and he was saying that that a man that forsake the Lord shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living water. Just to see the connection that here Yeshua the Messiah is stooping down, writing with his finger, and he may well have been writing down the name of each one of these ones who accused that woman while they were not judging their own self. And beloved friend, it's so easy to accuse others and to present others and to seek to find fault, of course, in the Lord and in others. And somehow God is ultimately is going to reveal to us all that who of us that is without sin, we are to cast the first stone. Remind me of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned that come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so you notice what happened. After the response of the Lord, in verse 7 and verse 8, we find out in verse 9 that the Pharisees were convicted in their own hearts. Notice it says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. Imagine what a shame it was for this woman to be there standing in the midst. Failed and sinned. And yet, here she is standing before the Lord of glory, before the Messiah. And how wonderful it is, the grace of God. In these verses, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, the law is holy. The law condemned us. The law revealed that we have sinned. The law condemns us, and should we seek to base our relationship with God on the basis of law-keeping, we will find ourselves to be condemned. And just like these all, one by one, they left, from the oldest to the youngest, from the first to the last, and they left, and they realized, because their conscience pricked them, and they realized that they have sinned. Maybe they were the one who participated in this sin of adultery. And yet blaming the woman and not judging their own self. And that's the way it is with us. We are so easily blaming others and not searching our own hearts. David said, Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, David sought that the Lord will search his own heart, and the Lord will help him to know his own heart, and the Lord will help him to try his own heart, and that the Lord will help him to know his own thoughts, in order that he, with the help of the Lord, will be departing from the wicked way and to be led into a way everlasting. And how we need that the Lord will help us to search our own hearts. And that's why Yeshua said in verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. It's so good to know that we have the throne of grace. The throne of grace. There in days of old, in the temple, in the city of Yerushalayim, you had a holy of holies. And the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, is in the Holy of Holy, Kodesh HaKodeshim. And there upon the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. In Hebrew it is called the Kaporet. And right there on top of the Ark of the Covenant, as it was covering the Ark, you have the Kaporet. And in between, on top of the Kaporet, there were two cherubim, and in between them, the blood of atonement was shed and spread there on that mercy seat, on the Kaporet. And that is remind us of the mercy seat that Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, provide for us sinners who today we have the throne of grace. As the writer to the early Hebrew believers wrote, that they could come to come boldly. Believers are to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help and grace in time of need. And we need so much this mercy seat, even as redeemed, forgiven people. And when we sin against the Lord, thank God, if we confess our sins unto Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, wants us to always stay close to Him and have these self-judgment on an ongoing basis, because none of us can say that we are without sin. Even as redeemed people who have already received the forgiveness of God, have already believed that Yeshua is the Messiah, have already trusted in the work of redemption that He accomplished for us on the cross some 2,000 years ago, we too every day need the grace of God. We need it, and we realize here in this story how the Lord have dealt with this woman here in this 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. You notice what we read in these verses 10 and 11. After the woman remained there in standing in the midst there, when Yeshua lifted up Himself, He saw none but the woman, and He said unto her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" He asked her. Can you imagine how she must have felt there, standing just before the Mashiach, the Messiah? And after she was brought there in shame, accused by others, imagine how the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, God the Son who became a man, the Mashiach Himself, He is there rising up from the ground. And He sees the woman there and He asks her, "Where are your accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" And the woman said, "No man, Lord." Notice she called Him Adon, Lord. It could be that right at this moment, this woman which was caught or taken in adultery, that is now before Yeshua the Messiah, calling Him Lord. "No man condemn me, Lord." And notice the grace of our Lord Jesus the Messiah. Yeshua said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." Every one of us who have accepted our Lord Yeshua the Messiah are so thankful to the Lord that He did not condemn us when we trusted in Him and when we accepted Him as our Mashiach, Lord and Savior. How wonderful it is to know that He is our Messiah. And so notice what He says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Go and sin no more. This expression is so beautiful. Go and sin no more, found in verse 11. Lechi lebeitech ve'al techet'i od. Go and sin no more. And so as we move along here, my dear friend, from the first 11 verses that are found in John chapter 8, we continue on now. You can see now how there is a link that is existing between this passage that we have here in John chapter 8 and verses 12 on to verse 20, you can see how verse 12 is really linked so vividly with the previous verses that are found in John chapter 7. You notice that in John 8 now, from verse 12 to 20, Yeshua the Messiah is presenting himself as the light of the world. You notice what we read, and I just want to read, first of all, verse 12, and you can see how it's beautifully flow from the end of chapter 7. And that's why the first 11 verses in the older manuscript are not found in oldest manuscripts, because some believe that this portion has been placed later on by some who believe that this historical event occurred and should be placed in this area, in this portion, the first 11 verses, because from there we move along to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who presents himself now as the one that is the light in contrast to darkness. And you notice, beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, in verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so you notice this, that he is now presenting himself as the light of the world. To remind you, he used once again the word I am. You remember in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 14, we have already seen that when Moses, was on the mountain with God, God said unto Moshe, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The Hebrew word for I am is Eheye. It's a little bit different than I am, but Eheye means I will be. I will be. I am the self-existing God. I will be to the people of Israel that which I will be. I am that I am. I'm the self-existing one. I'm the Jehovah. You notice immediately in verse 15 of Exodus chapter 3, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord, this is the word Jehovah, God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generation. The word for my name is in Hebrew Shmi, Zeshmi, Leolam. And the word for my memorial is Zezichri, Ledor vador, from generation to generation, you will know that this is my name. I am the great I am. And here we find out that Yeshua the Messiah is presenting himself as the I am once again. If you remember, in John chapter 6 and verse 35, Yeshua said unto them, I am the bread of life. Ani hu lechem achayim. But now, once again, in this verse 12, he's presenting himself as this, I am, this time, I am the light of the world. Ani hu or haolam. And so our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is presenting himself once again as this great I am. Beloved friend, listen. It is very important to remember that the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Yohanan, present before us our Lord Yeshua the Messiah as the eternal Son of God, as God the Son. You remember how the whole Gospel began. John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 20, verse 31. These are written, these things, these miracles are written in the whole Gospel of John, that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ. And he continued, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. And so we learn once and again, beloved friends, beloved brothers and sisters, that this Gospel of Yohanan, this Gospel of John present before us the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, but as the eternal God the Son, as a divine person. So how can he call himself? I am the light of the world, if he was not more than just another man. You see, the world is in darkness. The world is in darkness. You and I by nature are in darkness, according to John chapter 3, which we have already covered. Yeshua said, and this is the condemnation, that light came into the world and men, this is you and I, this is all humanity, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, my dear friend, this is the exclamation of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Men love darkness rather than light. That's why we sin, because we have a sin nature. And that's why we needed Mashiach, because Mashiach will pay for our sin. He will die as a substitute. That's why he came. He is the bread of life, but he is the light of this world. And so how precious it is, from verse 12 to verse 20 of John of Yohanan, chapter 8, Yeshua presenting himself as the light of this world, contrasting light with darkness. Because we live in this world filled with darkness, and if you remember, we have already read in the previous verses, where Yeshua the Messiah have already said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And then they all left, because they all have sinned. And the Lord had convicted them. And if any of them would be convicted to the extent that they would humble themselves before Yeshua the Messiah, before God, the God of Israel, they will be redeemed. Later on, we find out that many of the Pharisees came to know Yeshua the Messiah. Even Nicodemus, Nakdimon, we have already saw him in chapter 7. In chapter 3, he came to Yeshua by night. Here in chapter 7, he came by twilight. Verse 50 of chapter 7, the ruler of the Jews said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said in verse 51, does our Lord judge a man, any man, before it heals him and knoweth what he doeth? You see, Nicodemus by now have already realized that Yeshua is the Messiah, though he didn't come yet and publicly confess that he believed on him. And how many a time, my dear friend, many that heard the message of the gospel, even among our own Jewish people, who are so attracted to Yeshua the Messiah, but because of so many reasons, are hindered from going out and saying, I am a sinner who accepted, he is the Mashiach, he died for my sin. And maybe you today, my dear friend, if you listen to the message, I don't know where you are, but if you see and your conscience is troubling you, turn to the Lord, turn to his word, ask God to reveal to you and to show you that he is indeed the Mashiach, the light of this world, or laolam. He is the one who came to give us light in the midst of darkness. There is so much moral darkness in this world. There is spiritual darkness in this world. But there is one who came, and his name is Yeshua. He is the one that came to give light to this world. You know, later on, after Shaul became a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, Shaul Paul have taught the truth concerning the darkness in this world. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," this is the small g, Satan, "the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, of the Mashiach, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, Mashiach Yeshua, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Yeshua HaMashiach." Amazing, beloved friend, dear friends, how wonderful to know that the Messiah is presenting himself as the light of this world. And that's why we, as believers who have trusted in him, we have now entered into the light because of him. You know, the scripture tells us in the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "God is light, Elohim who or in the Hebrew, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." There is no darkness at all, my dear friend, because God is light, Elohim who or. And praise God, Yeshua the Messiah present himself in John chapter 8 and verse 12 as the light of the world. Beautiful, beautiful fact that we learn here from this chapter, and you see how it flows, because, to remind you, we are still just at the conclusion of the Feast of Sukkot. And Yeshua the Messiah came to the temple in Jerusalem in the Feast of Sukkot. And he cried and he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." Why? Because there was water that was drawn out of the well and was brought up to the temple and poured as a libation before the Lord. And there were lights, many lights in the temple during this special celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, because it represents prophetically the future day when God will restore our people of Israel and establish a messianic kingdom in the future day. And so there were many lights there in the temple. And this is so precious because it reminds us of the future day when there will be light in Israel and the whole world. What a wonderful fact will that be in a future day. Amazing truth to get a hold of. You remember what we read in Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And my dear beloved friends, that represent the message of the gospel that have gone to this world. And it will be even further at the end of the days when the Mashiach will come and he will give light to this world. And of course, before the second coming of the Messiah, which is seen here through the Feast of the Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacle, which represent the Messianic kingdom, first the Messiah had to die, fulfill the Feast of Pesach, becoming a Lamb of God, fulfilling the Feast of Passover, and in his second coming, he's going to be that one that will come to fulfill these wonderful days of the kingdom age. But now, he said, "I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so you notice now, the Pharisees, in verses 13, we read the Pharisees blame Yeshua, saying
that his record is not true. They said to him, therefore they said unto him, the Pharisees, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. You see, this is the problem that the Purushim had. They did not recognize, they did not want to recognize that he was indeed the promised Messiah. And therefore they were trying to find fault. And if you can see, throughout the whole passage here, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, they were trying to find fault in the person of the Lord Jesus. And what did they say to him? They said to him, you know, you're really bearing record of yourself. You're bearing record of yourself when your record is not true. But you see, later on we will find out in John 14 where the Lord will express this wonderful statement in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let God be true and every man a liar. Yeshua will say later on when he will speak to his disciples in the upper room before he will die on that Roman cross, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one come to the Father but by me. But you see, they didn't understand. The spiritual leaders didn't want to acknowledge him. And so they say, you bear witness of yourself. Your record is really not true. And so Yeshua in verses 14, he answered them, though I bear record of myself, he says, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. He said, I know what I am saying. You do not know where I came from, and you do not know where I am going to. But I know where I am going to, and I know from where I came. Verse 15, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. He says, you are just evaluating me, you are judging if after your own opinion. You know, so many opinions people have concerning the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. So many views. People who do not know others, do not know the heart of individuals, they have an opinion about others, and they do not know the truth. So the Lord told him here, you judge after the flesh, your own opinion, your own nature. But he says, I do not judge in the same way. I judge no man. Sometime, my dear friend, we are having opinions about people, and yet we do not know the inside. Where are they from? What are they doing? We judge because we have our own opinion about other people. You remember what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, where the Lord had to teach this lesson to Samuel, concerning the future king of Israel, David. The Lord said unto Shmuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Why? Because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. You see, when the sons of Yishai, Jesse, were presented before Shmuel to see which one of them will be the king of Israel, they presented Eliab before Shmuel, and Shmuel needed to learn that he cannot look only on the outward appearance, he need to know the heart of that person. The Lord does not see as man sees. And here we see in our chapter of John chapter 8, and where Yeshua the Messiah had to tell the Pharisees, he says, you judge after the flesh. You judge after your own opinion. You have your own standard, your own way, your own opinion, but you don't judge in the way that God would want you to evaluate. If they had understood and accepted the will and the word of the Lord, they will understand that Yeshua was indeed the promised Messiah. He was born to the Virgin Miriam. He was born in the city of Bethlehem. He was born in accordance with the timing that God had predicted the Messiah will come. He was born in a way that he would come to redeem the nation of Israel. He came exactly as the Torah spoke. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, Galatians 4, made of a woman, that is Miriam, made under the law. He was born exactly when he was still himself under the Torah. He lived among our people of Israel before he died, fulfilling the Torah to the fullest, beloved friend. And then we read, it came in order to redeem them which were under the law, that we might have the adoption of sons, as Galatians 4 and verses 4 and 5 present this before us. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, let's just draw towards the end here of these verses in John chapter 8. Then we notice that it's verse 16. We find out that Yeshua pointed to the fact that his judgment was true. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that had sent me. Notice that he always presents himself as one with God the Father. This must have been very hard for the Pharisees to understand, because the truth of the triunity was not presented in the same way as you and I know it today after the complete canon of Scripture is before us. But if one wanted to know the truth of the triunity in days of old, and that God, if God would have revealed to anyone who would trust in him, this person will understand. In John chapter 10, in verse 30, later on, we will get to it, we'll find out that Yeshua said, I and my Father are one. He always claimed to be equal with God the Father. And so we have the triunities always presented before us. And to realize that we believe in one God, no more than just one, the Hebrew word echad. But this one echad, this one God is existing and consisting in the three persons of the Godhead, in a triunity. And so we read in verse 17, it is also written in your law, in your Torah, that the testimony of two men are true. In other words, you have already said in verse 16, but I and the Father that has sent me, he is one, God the Father is one of the two persons of the Godhead. He says, I am one, verse 18, that bear witness of myself, and the Father that has sent me beareth witness of me. And so, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, then they said unto him in verse 19, where is thy Father? Where is your Father? Efo ha'abba shelcha? And Yeshua answered in verse 19b, ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. In other words, you see, because the Pharisees have departed so much from the ABC, we might say, from the truth of the Torah, the truth of the Scripture, by the time that Yeshua came, the Pharisaic view have gone so far from the Torah that Yeshua could say to them that they did not know him nor the Father. You see, it is fascinating, and it can happen to us today. There are those who claim to believe in Yeshua the Messiah. They may sit in the pew, they may hear the preacher preach, but they do not know the Lord. You remember what Matthew chapter 7 says, many will say unto me in these days, Lord, Lord, have not I done this or that in your name? And Yeshua will say to them, I never knew you. He doesn't say, I never knew about you, but I never knew you. I did not have and do not have a spiritual relationship with you. You are not my people. You are not born from above. You are not children of God. Well, here you can see that one can be a religious person and yet not knowing God. Ye neither know me, not my Father. If ye have known me, ye would have known my Father also. Why? Because God promised the Mashiach to come. And how he will come, when he will come, to whom will he be born? The timing when he will be born, to the nation through whom he will come into the world. But if someone who read the Torah, read the scripture and reject the truth that are found there, he cannot know God, could not know the Father. So in verse 20, we find out these words. We find that these words speak Yeshua in the treasury. The Hebrew word for treasury is Beit Ha'otzar. This is there in the temple where the treasury is and where the support for the ministry of the temple was provided by the nation. And you notice again, remember we read earlier in the beginning of chapter 8 and verse 2, he taught them. And here we find out in verse 20 of John 8, these words speak Yeshua in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hand on him. And why? Because his hour was not yet come. Beloved friend, you notice that? Once and again, we find out about this hour. In chapter 7, we read in verse 6, Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet. My time is not yet. You notice that? In verse 8, we find out in verse 8, he said, for my time is not yet fully come. This is in John chapter 7. A little bit later on in verse 30, we read that they sought to take him. At the end of verse 30, he says, but they couldn't because his hour was not yet come. And here once again, in John 8 and verse 20, they did not lay hand of him because his hour was not yet come. Later on, when the hour would come, he will sit down with his disciples and he will prepare the Talmidim, these early Hebrew disciples, prepare them for the time where he will die on that shameful Roman cross. We do read in John chapter 13 that we find out that when he says Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He is in chapter 13 as he is approaching the time where he must become the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of this world. His time will come. But here in John chapter 8 and verse 20, as Yeshua taught at the conclusion of the feast of Sukkot, the feast of Tabernacles, right there in the temple in the city of Jerusalem, he taught and he taught and he taught. What a wonderful privilege to be sitting at the feet of Yeshua the Messiah and those that sat at his feet and learned from him and embraced him as the Mashiach, learned from the Hebrew scripture to see indeed that he is the promised Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world. No one who opposed him could capture him or to lay hand on him because he's on a schedule. His time has not yet come. And when the time would come, he will lay down his life. He would give himself over as a shepherd lay down his life for the sheep in order to redeem people for himself. Are you redeemed, my friend? Do you know the Redeemer? Do you know the Savior? Do you know Yeshua the Messiah? Do you know the one who loved you and gave himself for you? Well, praise God if you have accepted him. Praise God for anyone that have come to know that, as Yeshua said earlier, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the first stone. and we realize that we've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and our Lord and Messiah Yeshua gave his life for us. And praise God, we came to know him as he drew us after him, and we became sons and daughters of the Father. Well, my dear friend, the two contrasts that we learn here in John chapter 8 from verse 1 to verse 20. The first one, there is a contrast between the law, the holy law given by God, and the grace that came by Yeshua the Messiah. The contrast, the law condemned us, grace forgive us. Then we have learned the contrast between darkness and light. Darkness is the condition of the whole human race. But the light came into this world in the person of Yeshua the Messiah, who says, I am the light of the world. Ani hu o ha'olam. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Well, God bless you, my dear friend. Until our next portion, we will say shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.